Well, it may also been the exposition of further scripture as scripture was given along the way to combat Arianism, Apollinarianism, Nestorianism, and all the rest of
it. What scripture are you referring to?
John's Gospel, chapter 1. That's not Hellenistic. I mean, the Greeks.
No. John is not Hellenistic.
Well, and the Greeks understood clearly Logos. They had a concept of Logos being the reason for existence or whatever.
I agree with that.
Whatever.
Certainly not a person. Nowhere in the Old Testament or in Greek literature is the word a person.
Now, how do you deal with the revelation of Scripture then, saying in the beginning was the Logos? Okay, was is imperfect in the Greek. It is not an aorist. It's not a he became. It's was always, no beginning. And then cross, face to face, which has the idea of absolute, total concept of equality. When you look at the word cross, used twice, you have this, you don't have subordination there. You have the concept of, again, before the incarnation, Logos was always existing, face to face with God, and once. Now here's where again, either you got to do what the Jehovah's Witnesses do, or you got to explain it away. Logos was imperfect in the Greek, always has been God.
If yes, I agree with you. I have no problem with that at all. The Word was God. It was with God, and it was God. There's no issue there with me at all.
And then the Word became flesh, right?
Then the Word became flesh. My disagreement is that the Word is an independent person. The Word is obviously always in the Old Testament, God's utterance, or what is in his mind and comes out of his mouth, or the activity of God is personified as his Word.
So
before
the incarnation,
that's what became a human, living, breathing human being in Jesus of Nazareth. It was the ultimate plan, ultimate will, and intention, and the creative energy of God all became a human being, and we saw his glory, and it was magnificent.
You're saying that it was just a creative power, whatever else, a word was literally face to face.
It's more than just that. It's God's very mind, the index of the mind as expressed, in his utterance, and that is not a person anywhere in the 43 books that precede John chapter 1. So it would be awfully strange to start John 1:1 with the presupposition that the Word is a person. Now, the Word became a person in verse 14. And so in Revelation, when we see Jesus is called the Word of God, it's because the Word of God has already become a person, therefore Jesus can be called the Word of God.
Oh, man, you're caught now, John. You're caught. How does the non-person become person and then say, return to me the glory I had with you before the beginning? How does non-person become person?
Well, I don't think you're understanding. It's a metaphor. If you have a blueprint in your mind of a building, and the blueprint becomes the building, how does that happen? Well, what's in the mind is enacted, and it becomes the real thing.
You're saying that
the fact of the matter is
the mind of God. It doesn't say that. That doesn't say. So you're going to massive words to negate that scripture. It doesn't say the Logos was in the mind of God. The Bible says...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
The Logos was God prior to incarnation.
Yes, I agree with that statement.
Logos is prior to... Logos is face-to-face, which shows both separation and connection. Prior to incarnation, we have separation connection, and we have face-to-face, and we have the declaration that Logos is God.
All right, let's assume you're right here, and that the word here in John chapter 1, verse 1, is the Son. So then it would read, in the beginning was the Word, the Son, and the Son was with God. Now, who's God there? It's got to be the Father, right? And the Word, and the Son was with the Father, and the Son was the Father. Well, we've just disproved Trinitarianism and proved modalism.
That's not going to work.
Unless you're going to switch definitions for God in the middle of a sentence.
No, you're not allowing the separation between the two. You're trying to make them both the same.
No, it says the Word was God. Does that mean the Son was the Father?
But you also said the Word was with God. You got both statements here. That's what you're not reconciling. You got both statements that the Logos was with God and the Logos was God, both in the imperfect. You have both separation and connection there that, again, demonstrates not only the pre-existence of Jesus, eternal pre-existence, but demonstrates again the coming into the flesh. It fits God with us, God in human flesh. So logos is not just a concept in the mind of God. It's not just a thought.
It's also expressed. It's expressed. It's not just in his mind. It's expressed.
But it's not for you. That has to be non-personal then.
That's exactly what the whole Bible is telling us, Russ.
No,
the whole 43 books that preceded this verse that we're fixated on, none of the text in which the word word is used in the rest of the Bible before this point is it ever referring to a person. So you're injecting a foreign definition of the word word based on the Trinitarian heritage that you have inherited from the church tradition.
Well, you know what? It's like 99 to 1, John. You're talking like there's like what is there now? 2 billion believers that would believe what I just said, not what you said.
Right, but we don't make our determinations of truth based on what's popular. If you want to take what's popular, there's 4 billion people that don't believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. Does that make me question my belief that Jesus is the Messiah? Not in the slightest, because what matters is truth. And what the Bible says, and ridding ourselves of our presuppositions and coming to the text and deriving our beliefs from the text.
And you haven't. You haven't done this in John chapter 1. You have not done this at all, John. You've negated what it says by reducing logos to a mere concept or an impersonal, language or phrase or thought. Okay? This is not what it was. Pros is a personal term.
It's the word with, isn't it?
Sure, but in the Greek, pros is used in the idea of having a face-to-face meeting, a personal face-to-face meeting. And that idea, and the word pros also in that construction means that there is a complete sense of equality where you be nose-to-nose. A nose-to-nose, logos, in the imperfect, always existing, eternally existing logos, was with face-to-face God.
Right. And you're saying that every translation is wrong.
No, I'm saying
the translations are wrong to say with.
No.
Okay, well then why don't you leave it as with?
Well, no problem. I'm just saying the Greek is very definitive of the word with. Pros is the word with. Logos was with God, but he's not only with God, he is God. Therefore, again, plurality in unity. Inseparable unity, and the unity has inseparable plurality. There's no question about it. Otherwise, you have to reduce a logos to some, non-personal, energy that eventually God, who logos is already God, so I guess he becomes God then, right?
No, logos does not become God. Logos is God's word. That's what the word word means. It's God's word, and it was manifested. It was incarnate. It became a living, breathing human being in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. This is why we can say, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. Because he is the incarnation. He did always the will of the Father. Anytime Jesus did a deed, he would say, these deeds are from my Father, these miracles, and these words that I speak to you, I speak only what my Father commands me, according to John chapter 12.